Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Live. NFL owners meeting today to discuss their negotiations over a new collective bargaining agreement, according to reports. A new CBA between the league and the players could be ratified before the start of the new year in mid-March. Aside from a 17-game schedule, the proposal also calls for expanded postseason and an increase in the split of revenues between the owners and players. So the owners meet today. They could vote today. The Players Association Executive Committee will meet via telephone tomorrow, and they may send it to the – and if they approve it by a two-thirds margin, they could send it to the general membership of the players over the weekend. We'll see. Everson Griffin is out of his contract with the Minnesota Vikings. He has been given the freedom to decide what happens this year. The four-time Pro Bowl pass rusher got a clause in his contract with the Minnesota Vikings that allowed for the voiding of the final 3 years of his deal if two criteria were met. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry underwent surgery early this month to repair a nagging hip injury that hampered him throughout last season. Had the surgery February 4th. A team source says Landry is expected to return at some point during training camp. And hockey, the Buffalo Sabres will return to practice today. The Sabres are off until Saturday afternoon when they travel to Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. That's a Saturday afternoon game, face-off at 1. Sabres then host Winnipeg at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at KeyBank Center. And there you go. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. We're going to the Combine next Monday. Joining us on the line is the NFL Network Vice President of Production. He oversees the Combine and NFL draft coverage. Happy to have Charlie Uke on the line with us. Hello, Charlie. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on.
No problem, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. You're getting ready for prime time Combine. That's going to be different, right?
Absolutely. I think we've angered a lot of, you know, club personnel and everyone else who wanted to go out for dinner and stuff, but we're excited about the opportunity to showcase what the players can do and what we can do from 4 to 11 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 2 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
And it really is about the attention, right? I mean, about getting more people who can watch this and get their eyeballs on these young players, correct?
Steve, yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think, you know, with the switch to primetime, there's a bigger audience naturally that watch television in primetime and consume our product, you know, the product of the National Football League in football. So it is basically the larger viewership. But as you guys know as well, Thursday night is becoming a priority across for the league, whether it's Thursday night football, whether it's when we made the move to primetime for the draft on Thursday night, and now the Combine follows suit. So we're hoping for good things this Thursday. We come out of the gate, too, with quarterbacks, wideouts, and tight ends. So, you know, this is a great group, a great prospect. You know, deep pool of wide receivers, which I know would probably interest Bills fans. So we're hoping for big things and to watch these guys shine on Thursday night.
Hey Charlie, you start at 4 p.m. and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, it goes to 11 o'clock each of those 3 days, right? Sunday's a little shorter day. Is that right?
Correct. So it's, you know, we don't expect everyone, I mean, you guys might not, and the hardcore viewers might. It's 7 hours, but, you know, we're gonna start promoting our coverage more specifically. And for the people listening right now, the tight ends will start on Thursday. And they'll go from about 4 to 6. And then the first group of quarterbacks and wideouts will start running their 40s around 6 o'clock. And then the second group of quarterbacks and wideouts will run their 40s around 8 o'clock. And the workouts are settled in between. Then it goes, you know, the offensive linemen and running backs on Friday. They won't be a test on this guy, so you won't need to quit.
Why did you move quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends to Thursday? They were Saturdays for many years. Why Thursdays for that?
Yeah, again, with the shift to primetime and being able to, so in that primetime window from 7-11, you're going to see the back end of the 40s and these quarterbacks and wideouts work out. And those being the skill positions, and as you guys know, quarterback being the marquee position in the league, showcase them that first night right out of the gate at 7 Eastern on Thursday.
Charlie, how are you going to keep that? Because I know I've seen some coverage, obviously we've seen some coverage when it wasn't in primetime. Are you going to do anything more to I don't know. I say spice it up, but keep it moving because sometimes the 40s kind of drag on. It's one every 5 minutes or something. And sometimes this stuff kind of drags on. How much talent, on-air talent, are you going to use? Are you going to have guys on the field? Are you going to do things differently because this is a primetime broadcast? And how much pushback did you get to make those changes?
Well, the good thing is that the folks at the league headquarters, the people who run the scouting combine, the 32 clubs, they were all in on this. Otherwise, the move wouldn't have happened. I think they understand we have that opportunity to showcase what we have. And as far as your first point, Steve, like the biggest things we're going to do differently is we're going to make sure we know our hardcore audience knows football, but we're going to try to teach more than we have before, showing them what this drill is, what it means, what it looks like when a player does it, and how it translates to the actual game. So we have these things called golf course flyovers where it's a graphically enhanced view of what the drill is. And then we'll show a player doing a drill, whether it's, you know, Josh Allen throwing a quick out at the combine and then him doing it in the game. So it's an opportunity for us to teach what these things mean on the field and how it translates on the field on Sundays, Thursdays, and Monday nights during the season.
On the line,
so that's one of our biggest changes.
We're on the line with Charlie Uke, NFL Network Vice President of Production. And to that point, Charlie, I want to tell you that it seems to me that the combine presentation has really come a long way. And incorporating current and, you know, recently retired players into explaining and working through some of these drills really brings a lot to it, I think, when you can hear, you know, what Kyle Williams says to some of the defensive line prospects or what Steven Smith says to some of the wide receivers from time to time, or quarterbacks for that matter. It brings a lot, I think, to the presentation. Don't you agree?
I agree, and that's why we made a deeper dive too. As you said, Kyle did a great job last year. This year we've got four guys confirmed that still play. So I'll go through the actual list of analysts that may interest everybody. So Thursday night, we've got Kurt Warner, Steve Smith Sr., as you mentioned, and Michael Irvin talking through the quarterbacks and wideouts. On Friday, we've got Joe Thomas and Sean O'Hara talking through the offensive linemen. And then the running backs will be our Maurice Jones-Drew, but we also confirmed Mark Ingram from the Ravens to help us throw on the field. Saturday, it's our Willie McGinnis talking through with defensive linemen and linebackers, but we also got confirmed Cam Jordan, defensive end from the Saints, and Darius Leonard, linebacker of the Colts. And then Sunday, we're actually pleased to announce that Jamal Adams from the Jets will join our Hall of Famer Deion Sanders on the field to talk about defensive backs. So very lucky and fortunate to have those current players join us in Indianapolis, and hope, again, like you said, offers a perspective to the fans of what current players see with the drills on the field.
One of the things I was asking, because we hear so much about, you know, the history of the combine and how long it's been going on. It's been going on for quite some time. How much of the past are you going to go back and pull out? Any, like, I want to see Deion Sanders 40 time. I want to see, you know, Jerry Rice. I want to see somebody. Are you going to be able to go back into history and maybe bring back some highlights, some other guys that have done it and players that are now maybe in the Hall of Fame and what they looked like back at their combine?
So, Steve, we will, although Deion's 40 is one of those things in lore. No one's ever really seen it, but he'll tell you he ran a 4.1, which I think we could believe him back then. But we're going to do our best job to show not only the historical stuff, but also the current stuff, and obviously all the current players that went through the combine as well, their combine skills. One of the guys that we always show, and you guys know this, when Josh Allen was at the combine, he absolutely, the oohs and ahs when he was throwing the ball was, you know, something that we always try to go back to, his 2018 year. So we're going to make sure that we show not only the current stuff but the past stuff as well, that lets people know, hey, why this is important, why it's important to follow this as you follow them along the path to the draft.
You know, I was just thinking about, and I mentioned Steve Smith, his interaction with another former Bills quarterback now, Tyree Jackson, last year during the workouts was priceless, you know, the dialogue they had and open mics. I mean, it was all access. You heard everything that he was saying to him, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's Steve just being Steve, too. Yeah. You know, because he was saying during that gauntlet drill, what you're referring to is where a receiver runs down the line and catches seven balls from different people throwing it. He just thought that he was just throwing it too fast as opposed to just trying to get in there. So he just let him know, like, hey, man, you're costing people some money here.
Yeah.
It was kind of a funny moment.
Yeah. What are some of the things we can look forward to about, you said that something about the camera. How many cameras, are, like, compared to an NFL game, how many cameras are you going to have at the combine? And I don't know if it'll be that many cameras, but, you know, what are we talking about production value-wise and how many guys you got working on it?
No, I mean, this is – Steve, I know, as a veteran doing games, we've got upwards of 30 cameras, so this is more than just a game. This is like an enhanced playoff game or even close to almost Super Bowl levels. But, you know, we're going to make sure, literally and figuratively, we got every angle covered. With this going to primetime, like I said, we want to be able to explain what everything means to a new audience. And quite frankly, any draft, as you guys know, is, we can do whatever we want, but the draft is going to be dictated by who the prospects are and who the stars are. So one of our bigger jobs, too, is to just tell everybody, here's Joe Burrow as a player and as a person. Here's Tua Tagovailoa as a player and a person. Here is CeeDee Lamb, you know, who the wide receiver from Oklahoma, as a player and a person. So we're going to try to do a better job of storytelling when we have those opportunities.
How much have you? How much behind the scenes interviews and like we call it B-roll, but how much film have you got of these guys before they get to the draft? Have you gone out and got Joe Burrow at LSU before he shows up? Have you got Tua Tagovailoa? You know what I mean? Some feature stories and stuff on these guys.
Yeah, so we have, as far as B-roll clips, we've probably got over 500 clips of all the of the kids that'll be there. And then we shoot stuff on site when we're in Indianapolis to turn around these little feature vignettes that really get to know. We call them first drafts, where we get to know the player more as a person than what they do on the field. So, you know, with their helmets off, talking about their stories that they want to talk about. So it sounds like a lot, but when we get to draft, we're well over 2,000 pieces of B-roll. So right. we build our way up as we get closer to April 23rd in Las Vegas. So this is the first tentpole step we have getting to there. So we've got a lot of clips ready. As you know, not all of them will air, but we're going to do what we can to make sure that the important ones do.
Charlie Uecker, our guest, NFL Network Vice President of Production. You also oversee production of the draft coverage on NFL Network, Charlie. And I wonder, I don't need hard numbers, but what's the difference in audience ratings between the draft, which I believe still is the number one offseason presentation by the NFL, and the combine, which comes, what, 5 weeks before the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think the draft clearly is a little bit more popular than the combine, and it's the vigor of the fans, because by then you know who you kind of want to pick.
Sure.
So the anticipation's a little higher. I can't give you full numbers, but we, you know, obviously there's a higher amount of consumption for the draft. But you know, all this, like as you guys are saying, this is just an end and a beginning journey for these kids, and then it, you know, it ends their journey in college and it begins their journey in the NFL. So it's like, as football 365 at this point, you know, we all love it. We all consume it. That's why we do it. That's why we talk about it. So whether you're picking first like the Bengals or 22nd like the Bills, you're invested in almost every pick in the first round because you're familiar with these guys at this point. You want to know where they're going to be, whether you're playing against them, whether you're rooting for them or rooting against them. So, the draft in itself is a culmination, but it's also a start, which is always very exciting.
Who's going to MC the coverage?
For the combine?
Yes.
So Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah will be our main announcers in the booth. I kind of ripped through the field analysts for you. Kimberly Jones, our excellent sideline reporter, will be there. Ian Rappaport, our insider, will be there. We'll have a second concourse set with a desk set up with Chris Rose as our host. The great Charles Davis and Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football fame. Those are our main analysts for the event that we hope can bring all the insight, analysis, and information during that 7 hours of coverage.
Hey, as you look ahead to the end of April and the draft, and you're also involved in planning for that coverage, Charlie, that's going to be different too, right, in the Las Vegas setting with some of the spectacular nature of just being Las Vegas. You're going to incorporate that a little bit, right?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things we try to do at NFL Network is make the city a showcase character of the draft, like we did in Nashville, like we've done in Dallas or Philadelphia or Chicago since it's moved from New York. Las Vegas will be no different. I'm not sure if many people have been to Las Vegas. That's sarcasm. But we're going to try to showcase what we can. And obviously there's a franchise that's opening up their stadium there that will want to make sure that the Raiders, that stadium, I don't know if people have seen it, but it looks pretty – it's very Raiders, let's just say that.
Yeah.
We expect the turnout to be great, and we're going to showcase Vegas for what it's become. Which is the destination spot for not just football fans, but for everyone alike.
Is it safe to assume the draft is probably not going to be in the stadium? It won't be quite be ready for that, and will be outdoors in some sort of common area there in Vegas? Where's the draft going to actually be, and
sure,
how close to being done will the stadium be on April 23rd?
I'm not sure if the stadium will be fully complete. It may just be a hard-hat area, but the two main stages – for the draft, the main set will be right behind that big Ferris wheel, behind the Link Hotel, I believe. I don't know the exact name of the Ferris wheel, but it's behind there. And then the initial stuff, the red carpet, the arrivals, and everything else will be in front of the fountains at the Bellagio. So those are the two main areas. NFL Network will have a couple other areas where we're going to have presence. But those are the two main featured areas for the league and for everyone else.
Got another combine question for you as we sort of wrap things up here, Charlie. Of all the combine drills, is there one that's really difficult to capture for a television audience? Three-cone drill or a shuttle run? Or is it all pretty, you know, it's all in the same spot. Is it easy to shoot and capture on video?
Yeah, I think the toughest part that our job, like I said, and I've said it over and over, is trying to explain why this drill is important. So you may just see like an offensive lineman perform the rabbit mirror drill, right, where they're just going side to side. But you understand why that's important for, you know, like, are they quick on their feet? Are they slow? Are their hips and all that other stuff? And Steve, you can speak to this better than I can. But all the nuances that everyone's looking for, we got to translate that, because to the layman, they're just seeing just guys run around an empty stadium. So that's our job, whether it's a drill that seems simple but it's not, like a quarterback throwing the deep route, that nine route, or it's something more intricate like the three-cone drill. Our job, and if we did our job, is we're explaining what everything means and why it's important for you to pay attention.
What's the next step? I mean, you got this on prime time now. It's going to be a Thursday-Friday event during the week. What would be the next evolution? We've been talking about how the combine has evolved over the last, 20, 30 years. What's the next step, do you see, Charlie, about, you know, where this thing might go?
I think the safest thing to say would be, at some point you want to see these guys are all competitors, and you probably want to see them competing against each other, not just against themselves. So in some aspect, we'll probably start figuring out how can we make this more competitive. I'm not being vague on purpose, but as you guys know, the guys who play this game of football, they're ultra competitive, and the ones that win are the most competitive. So when you get to all these alphas in a room, you know, how can we make them compete against each other to truly show who is the best, especially when you start a combine? So that's probably the next step. Lots of things to figure out on that level. You know, other little things too, like can we try to fill the stadium to watch this stuff? Is there interest there? So I think that's the next step, Steve. But we haven't really dived in deep yet. But these are the next things we got to talk about.
Yeah, and the next thing I tell you, it's compelling TV because it's reality TV, and you've got young men who are trying to fulfill their dreams, and they're kind of on stage in a job interview in a physical way. How close are you? And did you raise the question of can you get into the interview rooms? I mean, one of the big time things about this combine is the fact that you can actually, these teams sit down with these guys and for the first time in some cases look them in the eye and ask them some pretty serious life questions, and that's as telling about whether they're ready to play in the NFL as anything. How close are you to taking the lid off that can of worms?
Well, the good part there is, you know, with our partnership with the 32 clubs, you know, they typically do stuff that they share content with, so we're not going to be able to get in there live anytime soon, but the clubs always are willing to share what they can, if they can, when they can, to show us that kind of stuff. The inside the interview room, those are the deep pressing questions. But we're not at a point where we're going to be able to get in there. But again, with our partnership with all 32 teams, we have the ability to get the content that they're shooting from inside their rooms.
Charlie, good luck next week. It should be fun, right?
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to get down there. And again, hopefully for not just for Bills fans, but for all fans, we can paint a picture as we lead up to April 23rd.
Thanks for spending some time with us, Charlie.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Charlie Uke, NFL Network Vice President of Production, oversees the network's combine and NFL coverage. They start next week. We'll be there next Tuesday through Friday from noon to 3, our regular time. But starting Thursday night and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week, NFL Network goes live 4 p.m. to 11 p.m., 7 hours those three nights, 5 hours on Saturday, 5 hours on Sunday, March 1st, starting at 2 p.m., NFL Network coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine coming live from Indianapolis. Primetime starting next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and then Sunday, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's different. I don't see a problem with this, right? I asked a question
care?
About
when they do it.
Huh?
Well, yeah, who cares?
Right.
It's primetime TV. Let's see it. You know,
it's as good as most things that are on primetime TV. And, you know, yeah. I don't – it'll have no impact at all on how players perform. It will have an impact on the social atmosphere in Indy and the combine, and that's fine. That's a little overrated as well. I don't mind it at all. I think it's good. And I'm telling you, you can make plans for what you want to do, but Thursday night you do want to be around the
quarterbacks,
the dome.
Receivers.
Quarterbacks, tight ends, receivers. You want to see those guys, the receivers in particular, for Bills fans.
We've made plans to be sitting there, right?
I mean, yes.
You've commandeered my social evening.
I've took
calendar.
One night out of the four nights, five nights you'll spend
in
Indy.
Unbelievably inconvenient.
Monday, Tuesday,
to
Wednesday.
Work.
Four nights you'll spend in Indy.
When
we've
gone on a business trip.
You're asking me to work? Wait a minute. It'll be good. We're there next Monday. Monday we make the trip. Tuesday through Friday, we're live noon to 3 p.m.
One of the things that still exists at the Combine, and it's not completely gone yet, is that there is an aspect of this that when you're walking around and the days are kind of drag on and stuff, you get a chance to see and say hello to a lot of people in the NFL that either you've lost touch with or had an acquaintance with for a lot of years, or you know, wanted to meet. And like I said before, the guard is down. You know, they're just kind of casually standing around. And I've sat with and spoken to most of the guys in the NFL as head coaches, and have gotten to say at least hello and have a conversation with most of the GMs who at least have been there for the last couple of 3 years. That number's shrinking, by the way.
Yeah.
But I know a lot, you know, and you do too, you know, a ton of people. And it's nice to go in and be able to take a nice deep, because you don't have a game to worry about, right? You're always broadcasting a game. You got things you got to do on game. It's much different atmosphere when nobody has a scoreboard other than the players that are involved, you know, and everybody's just got that level of stress just peeled away, and it's fun to be around that atmosphere.
I was thinking about this the other day. When were we talking about Kevin Gilbride? Yesterday, the day before, he's coaching in the XFL.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw Kevin Gilbride, and he spent a couple of years here in Buffalo, and I got to be somewhat close with him, liked him a lot, I think very highly of him as a coach. But it was at the Combine after he left Buffalo, went to the Giants, won a Super Bowl, and I bumped into him on the street in Indy one night at the Combine and talked to him for 25 minutes. Yeah. And it was delightful. And that's the kind of thing that happens at the Combine. You see people you haven't seen, maybe guys who have accomplished something or guys who have moved a little bit, and you get a chance to say, hey, I enjoyed knowing you in Buffalo, and I'm really happy for what you've been able to do.
Like, for instance, there's probably a chance we're going to cross paths with Frank Reich, Tom Telesco, both of the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to be on the show. We're going to try and get those guys on the show. Alex Van Pelt is a new offensive coordinator, and this may be his first shot at actually being hired as an offensive coordinator, not being elevated into the spot for a minute with an interim basis or whatever.
That's what happened here,
Van Pelt is new Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator. I loved it. I can't wait to touch base with him and say hello. Other guys like that around the league who I played with or against. And it's just going to be a fun time. I'm glad we actually got a chance, because it looked like for a while we weren't going to make the trip as a, you know, as a schedule, and why go down there. But it is going to be a scene.
It's a convention.
It is.
It's the NFL offseason convention.
We belong there.
We belong there. People want to see us, by the way. They want to see him. People want to see us at the Combine.
People like us.
I can't tell you. honestly, the last couple of weeks, conversations with people who work in the league, the one question, hey, you going to the Combine? Right?
Yeah. It's just like going to the Super Bowl, going to the Combine, you going to the draft, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to train. Are we going to be at training camp? Yeah. You know, when are you coming into training camp? Well, everybody. It's just the way it is.
Hey, our Twitter poll today, there's a...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBA on the table. Owners apparently voting on it today in New York City. Players may get to it tomorrow or over the weekend. Among things involved in this new CBA is a 14-team NFL postseason, seven teams in each conference, not six. What's your biggest takeaway from the proposed 14-team playoff format, and why? That's our Twitter poll. It's up on Twitter right now. We'd love to hear from you about it. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. About 1,000 votes in so far. On the Twitter poll, 52% of you say you love it. Seven teams per conference. Love it. More playoff football to watch. 30% of you say, why change? The current format is fine. 15% of you say, you know, you set the bar too low. You're getting 8-8 teams, maybe even worse in the postseason. Then 3.4% say it's something else. Let's hear from you. The phone lines are open, and they're wide open. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550.
Let me be the all-too-early Captain Obvious. I mean, this is on the way to an 18-game schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's on the horizon.
Sure.
And the owners will give whatever, another percentage and a half.
Which is maybe why they only want a 5-year deal here instead of a 10-year.
See if they can get another game into it. And then they'll move they'll take another preseason game off the schedule. Right? Yeah. They're going. Yeah. It's evolving into the Steve Tasker plan, Murph. Just
No.
Admit it.
No.
They're doing it without having guys sit for two games.
Right. I'll tell you one thing that occurred to me when Charlie Uke was on us a minute ago. I didn't want to say it because I thought it was rude, but we have to be reaching the saturation point, right, for NFL football on TV. No, we're not there yet. Is there enough football? What's too much? I mean, he's talking, and I get it. I have no problem with the combine moving to nights, and people want to see it, and they'll watch it. The ratings will be good. And I didn't want to ask Charlie this, but at what point does somebody say, back off, we got enough football?
Maybe
I don't know if we ever get there.
And you know, maybe that's why they didn't go 17 or 18 games right away, because they thought, well, let's ease into this, because if we start to get some pushback with the numbers and particularly on our bottom line, we may want to.
Well, I think the pushback would be from players who might vote for 17, but 18 would be a big problem
right away.
They'll get to 18. I think you're right, but
they may see the financial benefit and let this thing air out, and there'll be a sore spot in the CBA, and the owner will say, well, we'll make that go away if you give us one more game. Yeah, you know that's what it is. It works.
I don't know where it ends.
This game is 100 years old now. It's a generational thing now. They're thinking about the next 25 years, not just the next 25 months.
Yep.
You know? So you can bet it's going to happen, right?
Yep, I agree.
So I was way ahead of my time with my plan. That's all I can say.
No, your plan was flawed because you had players opting to play just 16 games instead of 17 games or 18.
It's no surprise that my plan was flawed because I am inherently flawed.
We're taking a break and we're coming back, and we'd love to get your phone calls on the air, your response. We'll read some of the tweets too. Your biggest takeaway from the proposal to have 14 teams in the playoffs rather than 12. It's One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Got a whole half of a show to go here, Steve. You got enough material? You good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, take it.
Yeah. I really think it's fascinating to look at the history of the combine and how far it's come, and because it's become this juggernaut, so to speak, of television viewing. I mean, all football fans are going to be glued to it. You can't take your eyes off of it, particularly the ones who,
I don't know,
you know, got this
rating show
this
that?
Thing about this draft. Well, I don't know. I'll bet you I'll bet it pulls a pretty strong number.
I'll be eager to see that.
I will be too. Moving it to prime time, they must think something's up, you know?
There will be higher ratings than they are during the daytime for combine workouts.
Oh,
I still
yeah.
can't figure out, and here's the other thing I didn't want to ask Charlie Uke. What's ESPN going to do? ESPN used to carry those workouts too. Now they're going to do that at night?
I don't know.
You got a healthy college basketball schedule? I don't know that they bring up college basketball.
Are they going to pay for the rights?
I don't know. Are they out? I'm sure they'll have some combine coverage and some presence there.
Don't they kind of have to?
They do, and they will.
It's a crowded field.
But what do they do with the workouts?
On the broadcast side of it, as we were talking about it, everybody and their uncle uses the NFL for content.
Yes.
I mean, this show's built around it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, teams generate it. And so there's going to be people standing in line to, you know, get credentialed.
I'm not saying they wouldn't be interested, but if the combine workouts are at night, which they are, 4 p.m. to 11 p.m.
in conflict with college basketball.
And almost virtually every one of the ESPN platforms is filled with college hoops this time of year.
Maybe they don't want to care. Maybe that's a secret that the NFL Network reason they put it there so they could have it exclusively, bump their numbers.
Yep. Maybe. Haven't heard or read anything about that, but I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just an ancillary benefit to the network. I don't know.
Our Twitter poll today, the owners are meeting as we speak in New York City, voting on the new CBA. Well, talking about the new CBA, they may vote. And if they approve it, if the owners approve it, it would go to the Players Association. If the executive committee of the Players Association approves it by, is it two-thirds or three-quarters? Two-thirds, right? They approve it by a two-thirds margin. It goes to the entire Players Association for their approval. We could have a new CBA in the next week or so, maybe even shorter than that. We're going to find out.
There's always that specter because we don't know what the executive council, the NFLPA, really thinks. We know what the negotiators think and what the executive committee, they'll bring it to the players' reps. But if they can't sell the player reps on it and the player reps have some serious questions, the executive committee has to really sit down and hear it. I mean, that's the way it works. They can try and make the case for doing it, but it's the nooks and crannies of this deal are always what gets them and what gets it. It's the language and the contract and everything. And everything. We had one of the callers call them and say, because they agree to this, does this mean something over here? And the answer is no. Everything is a separate issue. And it's a full-scale, top-to-bottom revamping of a really, really complex labor agreement. It goes on and on, this stuff. So a ton of stuff on the table, and it's really complicated. And if it gets done this quick, that'll tell you how much financial motivation there was, right?
There's a lot.
There's a ton of it.
And they're
talking about $5 billion for 1.5% of what they're talking about. Gulp.
The things that would impact, we think, 17-game regular season schedule could be coming if this new CBA is approved. It won't be happening this current year, 2020. It could be 2021, maybe 2022. But the playoff expansion from 6 teams per conference to 7 teams per conference, that if it's approved, that is likely to happen next season. Yes. And that's where our Twitter poll comes in. What do you think of that? If they expand the playoffs to include 2 more teams, what does that do for you? Is it good? Is it bad? What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's look at some of the tweets on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From Go Billers, I don't think an extra playoff game with a 7-9 or an 8-8 team would be compelling at all. However, if it was an extra week of playoffs or an extra week of regular season, I'd choose playoffs. I think what he's saying is, if his choice is you want an extra week of the playoffs or an extra week of regular season, I'd take an extra week of the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be your choice. The playoffs will probably happen first, but eventually you'll get to a 17-week regular season.
You're getting 8-8 teams in the playoffs now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. Sometimes these divisions spit out a winner that's not up to snuff. And we can go back and think of times when bad teams got in, but I still think it would be better if you're going to have divisions in football. Okay, but if you did away with divisions and just said, "Hey, top teams make it," and you from year to year go rank the teams from 1 through 16 in each conference, and then you say you lay out their schedules accordingly, strictly by ranking, and go that way and do away with it. Do away with the divisions. You don't need that. You don't need to play a team twice. So, I don't know. I just seeding the playoff teams to me makes a lot more sense than having an 8-8 team who won a bad division hosting a 10-6 or 11-5 team who got beat by the number one seed in their own division.
How about an 8-8 team that battled to win a division?
And the other teams in the division are 6-9 and 7-9?
7-9, yes. I mean, if they're the winners, the champions, yes.
Doesn't sound like a really good division to me.
Well, maybe they are. I mean, what if they beat each other up? That's all I'm saying. If they
the
beat
NFC
each other
West,
up in the division.
The NFC West was the best division in football. They got two teams in the division in, and one of their teams got shut out. The Rams would have been the next team in under this playoff, under this new playoff system. And they were both in. I don't buy that. If win your games. I mean, if you're that good a division, you would beat everybody outside of your division. And those teams that are 8-8 didn't do that.
Back to the tweet sheet from Fisher. And I think this is the way many people feel. I'm torn on this question, Fisher says. All those years of the Bills not making the playoffs, and now when we're back in the playoffs 2 out of 3 years and they make it easier for the other teams, hopefully we can get the first round bye at least. Go Bills. You get a first round bye in this new system, you need to be the number one team in the conference. So that's an interesting concept, to be the number one team in the conference now, the only team that gets a bye. That would, I think, have an ancillary effect of creating really good competition to be the number one team in the conference, right? Right down to the end of the regular season, whenever that is.
Don't get caught up in what it would have meant, could have meant, should have meant way back in the day. The league never, the NFL never gets caught up in history. They don't really care about what the record holders were in 1975 or 1985. They want to know what's going to happen to the league, how the game's going to look going forward. And I think going forward, think about wild card weekend. The playoffs finally hit. You've been waiting on them forever. Try and think back of how excited you were for that playoff weekend when the Bills are in, they're going to Houston and all that stuff's going on, and how rabid the appetite is from everybody about the playoffs beginning. And that's the weekend you get six games, all standalone games, at noon or 1 o'clock Eastern, at 4:30 Eastern, and at 8. You're going to be watching games all day, all afternoon, on a weekend when it's the most exciting and the most fun to do it, on both days, Saturday and Sunday. Then the next week, it'll be might be the same way, right? Three games. It'll be
– No, next week it'll be 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Yes, right, 2-2. Yeah, and it'll go backwards. So you'll get less games. And we've heard a little pushback saying, I don't know if I can have a day where I got 12 hours to spend watching football. And I get it.
How about having 2 days to
but
do
it's,
that?
Yeah, 2 days of 12 hours. I get that, but think of that. That's the weekend of the year when you're going to be ravenous for those playoff games. I think it fits pretty well.
I don't know. I don't know if they're close to killing the golden goose with all this expansion of postseason. But I think they're walking up right next to the line.
And I think that's why they didn't go 18 games right away. I think they're trying to – they're edging into it, or maybe they felt like it wouldn't have never – wouldn't have flown. They might have risked a work stoppage if they'd have tried to go 18 games right away. But I think now if they do this and do it – say this agreement, this CBA is going to last 5 years. They'll have 5 years of data, and they'll be able to look at it and say, okay, if we do this and this – or since we've done this, we have had no significant increase in injuries, or the injuries increased, but because of this or whatever, they'll be able to cut the data down and say, here's what we're looking at. Here's what it's going to be if we raise it to 18 games. Because I think that's, you know, that's obviously where they're headed. 17 games. Nobody wants 8 home games and 9 away games or vice versa. I mean, 9 home games, okay, great. 8 away games, okay. But you got to rotate it every week. How are they going to work it? Neutral site games. It becomes cumbersome and so much more mathematically satisfying, I guess, when you have 18 games on with 32-team league.
The neutral site games, we talked about this at length, 2 weeks ago, and I think that holds the key to – a 17-game schedule, which may be one of the reasons why they would not put it in place for 2020 or maybe not even 2021. I mean, there's an international component that could be where that neutral site game is. There are neutral site proposals, at least here in the United States. I do think it might be one of those things that the league is in their back pocket thinking, we'll work on neutral sites, but let's get this approved first, a 17-game schedule.
That may be the thing that holds them up from putting it in place in 2021 is the neutral site games and how they're going to handle it. It's because it's not just, you know, it's a lot of games. So they got to find places to play them. And if they're all going to be at home games or whatever, okay, that's fine. But if they're going to be at neutral site games, how many and who? And if your division has it at a neutral site game, why does my division get home games, you know? So it's got to be equal that way as well. The odd number really throws a wrench into the ability to make it fair, just easier to make it fair. This neutral site thing is interesting and fun to think about, but it's also really problematic for the schedule makers.
Yep. They'll figure it out. I don't think it's a big problem.
Well, they'll figure it out or they'll just mess it up and won't care. They'll just play them anyway, right? It's so unfair. It'll be unfair to somebody.
We're taking a break. We're coming back. You can give us a call on this issue. Postseason, if it expands from 2-14 teams, from 12 teams, what are the practical effects of that? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. No news from New York where owners are meeting. We did see video on NFL Network of owners arriving at meetings, so we got that going for us.
They're congregating.
Yep, they're getting together. They may vote on a new collective bargaining agreement. Hey, let's play What's for Lunch. You ready for that? What is for lunch? It's a regular feature we do. We kind of discuss what we prefer. We get a choice of a beautiful, wonderful, well-grilled chicken wing or a piece of fish between two slices of Wonder Bread.
Our radio listeners aren't watching that.
Not even a piece
it's
of fish.
It's just a graphic.
Just a fish.
Just a flop, and it's fish. Flopping fish, too.
What's for lunch? All right, here we go. The Bills should or should not consider a trade for Darius Slay. I'm going to say should not. Can they use a corner in the draft? Yeah, maybe, but they're not in the market for an expensive cornerback. They have a guy they got to take care of whom they drafted, Tre'Davious White. He is priority one. No. Should not consider a trade for him.
I'm gonna play wordsmith right here and say consider it, sure, but do it absolutely no for sure. No, you got to if it's the right price, yeah. The guy can play. There's no question about it. He's a good player, a very good player, and the Bills will check into what it's going to cost to get him out of Detroit. But don't do it at all costs. There's some guys available, and this is a time of year too where. There's a handful of teams, just like there's a handful of teams like the Bills with a bunch of cap space to spend, there's also a bunch of teams that are choking on their cap, and they're going to cut some really good players. Just hang tough, find out who becomes available, get them for the right price, and I think that's what the Bills should do. And if Slay falls into that, if Darius Slay falls into that, sure, then consider it.
Here's one. Who would you rather sign as a wide receiver, Amari Cooper or A.J. Green? You can go first.
I'm going to say A.J. Green.
Why?
I've had some experience watching him on the sideline. When he played, I watched them, the Cincinnati Bengals play. Just this, I'll just give you this one example.
Yeah.
I saw the Cincinnati Bengals play a game against the Carolina Panthers 2 years ago, 3 years ago. A.J. Green was on the field. He pulled his hammy in the game. It was down in Charlotte. And the entire game changed when A.J. Green couldn't get back into the game. The entire defense for the Panthers changed. The offense for the Bengals changed. That guy changed the game with merely his presence on the field. And because of that, I would say he's better than Amari Cooper.
I wouldn't dispute that. The Bills had a game like that against Cincinnati where A.J. Green got hurt like on the second play from scrimmage, right, along the sidelines and mm-hmm. didn't come back. Bills won that game. And yet he is six or I think almost 7 years older than Amari Cooper. And for that reason alone, I would take Amari Cooper if I was going to take one or the other.
And A.J.'s been injured. I mean, you know, yep. He's been injured. Amari Cooper has been available, which is the best ability of all maybe.
Yep. All right, what's for lunch? Who would you rather have, wide receiver, Odell Beckham and Landry, as the Browns do, or Thielen and Diggs, as the Vikings do right now?
Wow.
I'd rather have Thielen and Diggs.
Why?
Because of Thielen. Because I don't think I would rely on Beckham or Landry long-term. I don't think either one of them are reliable. They're both spectacular performers.
You think they'll both flame out, right?
Yes. I think Thielen is a good, solid player. And Diggs, who you could probably keep happy. I know we talked yesterday about trading him. But I think you could probably keep him happy. I'd rather go Thielen and Diggs.
I think culturally speaking, from One Bill's drive, it's the Minnesota guys for sure, Thielen and Diggs. But Beckham and Landry, to get those guys in a package, you'd have offensive coordinators falling over themselves. They'd be slicing their tires trying to keep those guys in town.
Yeah.
But Thielen and Diggs, I think you get a couple of guys. And Diggs, for the little hiccup he had early in the season last year, he was productive, and he played hard for a team that, for a lot of people, underperformed. So I'd say Thielen and Diggs for the cultural thing and for the fact that – just for the cultural thing, you know.
Yep. What's for lunch? 2020 MVP favorite before the season begins. Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Mahomes. Lamar Jackson had a great year. Ravens were a really good, tough to beat team this year. I wonder if that was a 1 year phenomenon, a flash in the pan. I don't know if they can follow that up again. For that reason, I think I would pick Mahomes in this particular question. Mahomes would be the MVP favorite, I would think.
He's been in the running. Now, this last year he got hurt, remember, and he got his knee whacked and he was out for a couple of games. Yeah, I'd say Mahomes, just because he is a lot of things that Lamar Jackson is. He's I think he's a better thrower. And you're right. There is some uncertainty about how sustainable the Baltimore model is. Well, not that it wasn't great, because it was, and not that Lamar Jackson's not a great player. He is, and he deserved the MVP this year, no question about it. But I guess I'm too old. I won't see it again. Mm-hmm. You know, they were out of the playoffs quick. Mahomes has not been out of the playoffs quick since he became a starter.
Last one on What's for Lunch. Drew Brees, Taysom Hill. Hill has to be re-signed, and Drew Brees said he's coming back to New Orleans. Sharing snaps this coming year will or will not work? I think it will, as long as it's about the same formula they had last year, the same prescription for sharing snaps. Yeah, I think that could work just as it did this year for them. Sure, I think that can work.
It'll work because of Sean Payton. He'll make it work. Now, those guys being happy and staying happy, I think that Drew Brees came back, and as he said, I think he was being self-evident. A lot of times guys, you know, use hyperbole when they announce they're coming back to the team and all that. I think he is coming back for one last shot, and he thinks they got a chance at it. I think he thinks they got a chance at the trophy, and he wants to come back and do it. And if that means letting Taysom Hill have a package in every game, taking some snaps in every game to give him the chance to win, making it tough on a defense, making their offense more difficult to prepare for, I think Drew Brees would be all in on that, particularly at his age. So I think it will work because Drew Brees is kind of an unselfish superstar, if you will. And Taysom Hill does bring something to the table. He's never going to be a starter in the NFL, but he does bring something. As you can see here, some of the highlights we're looking at, the guy can throw it some, and he's got kind of this new modern football athleticism about him. But Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, and it's him that makes the thing go. So I think if Drew Brees says it's okay, I think it will work.
Yep. There you go. What's for Lunch? We're coming back with one more hour. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.